Otto Warmbier, the American student who was imprisoned in North Korea before being returned home in a coma, died Monday in a Cincinnati hospital. Warmbier, a UVA student, was arrested for trying to steal an item bearing a propaganda slogan and was sentenced to 15 years hard labor. He was held for 17 months. The regime said it released him on humanitarian grounds. The 22-year-old returned just last week with a severe brain injury.
What we're seeing is more adoption of the mobile platforms. There are 70 million small businesses that are using Facebook on a monthly basis. That's our free product and 5 million advertisers. We also see small businesses playing a very important role in the global economy. The majority of job creation around the world is actually small businesses. And even the most offline small business can use the power of technology.
Many of our federal systems are decades old, with our 10 oldest being between 39 and 56 years old. This traps thousands of processes and paperwork and prevents routine improvements, optimization, and often innovation. Our goal here is simple. We are here to improve the day-to-day lives of the average citizen. That's a core promise, and we are keeping it.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It's June 20th, 2017, 5:11 in the morning. Glad you're here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell, another business day. Lots going on this morning. It's Tech Week in Chicago. We'll bring in our guest Adam Jones from The Nerdery to talk a little bit about Tech Week in Chicago momentarily. A little later in the show, we're going to have a grill master on from Weber Grills. The grilling season is underway. We'll be talking to him about some tips and technology, the economy, really the business of grilling. Coming up a little later in the program. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Dow futures are pointing toward a positive open on Wall Street. The Dow is up about 13 points now. Futures on the NASDAQ and S&P are up just generally single digits. Crude oil this morning at $44.12 a barrel, which is up just a few cents. Around the globe, this morning stocks in Asia were generally lower, erasing initial gains, but Tokyo's benchmark rose significantly, cheered on by gains on Wall Street yesterday. The Nikkei actually has the best showing in about 2 years, up almost a full percent, 162 points. The Hang Seng Shanghai Asian Dow generally lower. In Europe, markets are generally higher as well. In London, the FTSE is up about 5 points. The DAX in Germany is up about 41. The CAC is up in France as well, about 20 points. Gold and silver are trading a little bit higher this morning. Here are some of the stories we're watching for you. Didn't take long for the word to leak out of Amazon that they want to change Whole Foods to make it less expensive and more automated. Who would have guessed that? Whole Foods CEO John Mackey says the deal to be acquired by Amazon, the result of a whirlwind courtship, but there's a lot of concern inside the halls of Whole Foods about how the culture there will change. It is quite different from Amazon. Some leaking out yesterday that some of the things will change at Whole Foods, including price structure. Amazon probably going to use some of these Whole Foods stores as warehouses, and you can bet that delivery by Amazon is not far behind. Interest rates on short-term Treasury bills rose yesterday in their auction at their highest levels since 2008. The Treasury Department auctioned about $39 billion in 3 months at a discount rate of 1.01%. That's up from 0.99% last week. Also, a St. Louis judge has declared a mistrial in a talcum powder trial after the U.S. Supreme Court placed limits on where injury lawsuits could be filed. Justices yesterday ruled that state courts cannot bear claims against companies not based in the state where alleged injuries occur. Big decision by the Supreme Court yesterday, too. The Supreme Court ruled, well, you can have some off-color and nasty trademarks. Before couldn't do that. You couldn't have anything that was considered obscene coming out of the trademark office. But the Supreme Court yesterday ruled it's all free speech. You can do it. Tech Week is underway in Chicago, and we're happy to have with us the director of technology at the Nerdery in Chicago. Adam Jones is here. Adam, good morning, first of all. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Good morning.
Some cities have Fleet Week. There's Shark Week on TV, but we have Tech Week, right?
Absolutely.
So what is this all about? Why Tech Week?
Well, Tech Week actually started in Chicago. So Tech Week is an opportunity for us to showcase not only the companies that are involved in some of the most groundbreaking and revolutionary leading-edge technology and practices in our field, but it's also a place for us to meet, network, and get together and share ideas, and also have open houses like the Nerdery is having on Wednesday to let people come in and get an idea of what we're all about.
Let's talk a little bit about the Nerdery for folks who are not familiar with it. What do you do there? It sounds like a playground.
It slightly is. It can be. But in a nutshell, we're a hive mind of software engineers, strategists, problem solvers who create digital products and services that better people's lives. And we try to drive towards business outcomes. And we try to take the value of not only having a beautiful technical ecosystem, but also having the business drive behind that to marry the two.
Mm-hmm. So if I were in business and came to the Nerdery for help, what would I be coming for help for?
Well, a lot of the things that we do is, you know, we're shortening that wick between an idea of how we want our business to be driven to the outcomes that we want technically. So a lot of people come to the Nerdery for a little bit of therapy. Like, come in, we do a sit down with them, and we'll work through the problem. We'll do a code intake. We'll look at their ecosystem. We will also sit down and do a business evaluation and help them with any organizational changes that need to happen so that they can move towards the transformation that they need digitally.
So I guess we all just sort of take for granted that everybody's sort of technically capable these days.
Right.
That if you go to a place of business, there everybody knows what they're doing. That's not the case, is it?
No, it is not. No. I mean, like, the thing is, if you look, especially like what's happening right now with Amazon and Whole Foods, people are trying to figure out what's really going on with that. If you look at it, that's like a land grab. So now they have more physical locations where people can do business with Amazon, right? And based on outcomes and people's price ranges, like, or not price ranges, but their income. So people know that people that shop at Whole Foods are 50K and up. And so now Amazon's trying to drive the market to disperse their footprint across people that make that much money and then the people that use Amazon for other things. So if you look at that as far as digital transformation goes, they understand that they have a digital footprint, but they also understand there are also other business needs that need to be addressed. Mm-hmm. And that right there is a marry of land grab / technical advancement and knowing your marketplace. And that's a lot of the wedges that are getting driven into the technical landscape. It used to be like, we're just going to be a tech company and this is what we do. But a lot of this is understanding your brick and mortar and understanding your customers and understanding what needs to be done and marrying the two.
So I'm guessing that, and I'm glad you brought up Amazon and Whole Foods, because I'm guessing there'll be for the folks at Whole Foods, a real culture shock coming, because I don't imagine people at Whole Foods are very technical.
Yeah, I mean, they try at Whole Foods to be technical. They have their app and things like that. But I think that people that go to Whole Foods go there for a specific thing, for a specific reason. And I think it's a paradigm shift between the Amazon marketplace and the Whole Food marketplace. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a shift in more of, and like I talked about,
right,
into that digital transformation of things. And so you're taking a real world example and a real world brick and mortar, and you're marrying that with something which, like Amazon, is a digital landscape. And it'll be interesting to see what happens. And I think that they've tested that ground when they went back and started to create the Amazon bookstores.
Right.
They went.
Right.
I think that that's a beautiful thing, because they went digital. They figured that out, and
right,
then now they're able to take that data and they're able to drive towards a brick and mortar that's actually more relevant, that also brings books. And like, I like books, and
yeah,
I like the idea,
yeah,
of being able to go to a store that has digital data and actually has an idea behind what I want to see, but I can actually physically walk in and touch it. So this pendulum is starting to like level off,
mm-hmm,
where we were going one way, bubbles, you know, burst, and then it was like, we have to figure it out. And then now we're in a place where you're marrying the tech and the physical world in like a nice spot for everybody to like to operate in.
So would the folks at Whole Foods, would they come in for a little bit of therapy? That would they be your audience in this case?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's part of coming in for nerd therapy is please explain to me what's happening in the world today so we can figure out where I live and how I operate inside this world.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Markets roll into Tuesday after record high closes for both the Dow and the S&P 500. While on the day President Trump hosted several technology leaders at the White House, the tech-heavy NASDAQ jumped 87 points, its biggest one-day gain since the day before the election. UPS, trying to reduce a year-end cost spike, is adding its first-ever holiday surcharge. A 27-cent fee will be tacked on during the weeks around Black Friday and leading up to Christmas. It'll cost 83 extra cents to send a package next day air in the week ending December 23rd. Airbag maker Takata may file for bankruptcy protection, and that would leave little money for people who sued the company over its malfunctioning airbags that led to deaths and injuries. Instead, the deal would sell off the company's assets, with most of the money set to pay off a $1 billion criminal settlement. And if you're an Apple Music customer, you can switch over to a yearly subscription for the first time. Brian Clark, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's 525. We're on this morning with Adam Jones. He's the Director of Technology at Nerdery in Chicago. Tech Week is underway. Adam, what is Tech Week? What events are taking place? What do we have yet to do this week?
So tonight there is a meetup at the Capital One building, and there will be a happy hour, and they're going to be showcasing some of their innovations that they're working on. Wednesday night is our event at the Nerdery. We are going to have a What Happens When Music and Tech Collides panel. We're going to have folks from ArtistGrowth.com, Live Nation, Riot Fest, and the Autograph Future Factory. So what we're going to be doing there is having an open panel about where music and technology are converging. And after the panel, we're going to have an open house where we're going to be showcasing some of the things that we've been working on. We have the Holo Dog. The Holo Dog is a cute version of a meet and greet type hologram dog. But the real neat thing about that is we're working on some echolocation stuff that we're trying to use maybe for people with disabilities and things like that. And it's a way for us to showcase some of the things we're doing in echolocation. We have HoloLens Jenga. That, again, is we're working through some Microsoft HoloLens technology. We have built a nerd wall, which is a live, living nerd wall where you can scroll through all the nerds and see your favorite nerd live in action. Think of the NFL, you know, when they cut to the players and they're kind of moving. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where it's like this live action thing and everybody does something special and it's fun and unique based on their personality and much more. We have a shuffleboard table that we've worked on with some Kinect technology where you no longer have to keep score. It does all that for you. And then we'll have food and drink and discussion.
People can find more online. It's techweekchicago.com. While you're looking for that, I'll move on because it's interesting. You mentioned the Holodog. This is the sort of like a virtual reality, or is it called augmented reality, right?
Yeah.
This is going to be a big deal because it's in the news this morning. The German national soccer team says it's going to start using some of this technology to train. Is that, if you had to look to the future for tech, is that really it?
I think augmented reality and Kinect technology and things like that, you know, marrying the physical world with the technical world, I think it's a beautiful thing because you're no longer bifurcating the physical and the tech world from one another, and you're marrying the two. And I think that's where we needed to go anyway. And, you know, having played sports myself, the more technologically advanced we can get, and the better we can get about the appropriate training, how to stretch, how to lift appropriately, and looking at game film and or practice film and seeing like your body position and things like that. It's only going to make things safer, and it's only going to help players advance all sports and games.
We got about a minute or so left, but I wanted to ask you about the economy of all of this, the tech in Chicago. This adds a lot to our local economy, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at the latest numbers in 2017, where we're at, we're not even all the way through. We've already hit $1 billion in venture capital. Wow. that has gone out, been raised here. And if you go to these Tech Week events, you see, you know, tons of entrepreneurs. You see the spirit. You see people coming from all walks of life. converging in on what we're trying to do here in Chicago and build up our tech scene. And I also think that if you look at the Chicago tech scene against San Francisco or New York, it's stronger, if not better. It's just, I think, in the old Midwestern attitude of, like, you know, put your head down, be humble. You know, we're the city that works. We're not the city that talks and brags. So we're in the middle, and, you know, and I think that we're striving. And if you look at some of the companies that are here located in the Chicagoland area, they're doing some revolutionary things, but they're just being humble. And I think that's kind of the difference between us and the coasts.
Well, Adam, happy Tech Week, and we'd love to have you back and talk more about tech in Chicago.
Absolutely. Love to come back.
Adam Jones is Director of Technology at Nerdery. Tech Week in Chicago, techweek.com/Chicago. How's that for the website? Does that sound about right?
That's about right.
All right. Thanks, Adam.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. It's 540. Glad to have you with us for our Tuesday edition of The Opening Bell. It's grilling season. We all know that. Lots of business of grilling ideas on the show this morning. We're happy to have with us Kevin Coleman. He's a Weber Grill Master. And Kevin, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Thank you for having us. We're excited to be here.
Well, this is probably one of my most favorite times of the year. And actually, yesterday we had a guest on that was doing some grilling even before dawn to bring us something. We did a restaurant segment that we're going to have coming up. So everybody's grilling, aren't they?
Everybody is grilling, which is what we want. We want them having memories in their backyard with their family and friends. And ultimately, we want them to cook the best food. So that's part of my job.
And I want to talk just a moment about Weber, because as we were getting ready for this segment today, Bennett Wakenight, who's the producer of the show, we were having sort of a roundtable meeting about this. We're trying to figure out who the players were in this scene. And I have to be honest, I can't think of anybody who's doing it like Weber.
Well, the great thing about Weber, it's a company that started in Chicago back in 1952 with George Stephen. It's you can't see a grill in the Chicagoland area that's not a Weber. Fantastic company, the absolute leader in the backyard, and that's because we continue to listen to customers and design grills and accessories that make their lives so much easier when they're cooking in the backyard.
So let's talk about the machinery itself. If somebody's going out today to start their life in grilling, what would you recommend to them to have the best system on their deck or wherever they're grilling?
Well, number one, we'd want them to buy a couple of grills, because I think if they're going to get into grilling, they're going to be grilling a lot. So, I think the first thing you want to do is, the most important thing is look for the space that you're going to be cooking. If you're going to be cooking for 4 to 6 or 8 people, that's usually a good idea that when you open up the lid to say, this is the size that I need. Also, if you're getting into grilling, a lot of people like going gas first, because it's a little more consistent. Usually doesn't run out of gas. The grill doesn't. With charcoal, it's going to hit a peak, and eventually that fire is going to start to die down. And you're going to have to add coals and adjust more. So it's a little more challenging to cook with charcoal. So a lot of people tend to move towards the gas because it's a lot easier to regulate, a lot easier to cook, and it's a little bit quicker too.
Are there tools and accessories too that are must-have? It's not just the grill, is it?
No, the tools that I recommend, number one, you need a good grill brush that will keep the grates clean, that will keep the food from sticking, a good spatula, 2 sets of tongs, that way you have something for your raw food and your final food. And then finally, we have an iGrill, which is a Bluetooth device that sends a signal to your phone and tells you when your food is done grilling. So it basically takes all the guesswork out of barbecuing, and it turns you into a grill master overnight.
Well, that's I knew there was going to be a tech intersection here, but I didn't realize it would be that cool. I don't know. As a grill master, do you do that, or do you just kind of trust your instincts?
You know, the funny thing is, when I first started getting into barbecue a long time ago, I used to cook for fun, right? Because you're trying new things and sauces and seasonings and everything else. And now I'm cooking for respect. It's my name. So when I have to do things for large parties, it's like, I can't screw them up, so I use as much of that technology as I can, so that way I ensure that the food comes out perfect, because if it doesn't, I guarantee someone's going to tell me about it.
So, Kevin, I'm kind of curious, just as an aside, as a grill master, do you have a sash, or do you get a certificate, or how does that work?
It was one of those things that over time that, you know, having 55 grills, testing products, teaching barbecue science at Ohio State, doing a bunch of, you know, TV and commercials and stuff. It was just one of those things that it was like, we're going to anoint you the grill master, first time ever in the company's history. So I have a nice black coat that I wear when I'm out, and that's pretty much it. The most important part is my job is to inspire people to get in the backyard, to educate them so they can cook food better.
And wait a second, you mean to tell me I could go to school to get a degree in grilling?
Well, we have a training program now. We also offer some great classes through our restaurant, so we can train you and get you to the point where you are a grill master, and that's the most important part, so that way I can retire sooner than later.
Well, let's, because, you know, people are grilling. This is grilling season. What are the biggest mistakes people make when they head outdoors to the grill?
The biggest mistake, number one, is preheating your grill. That's the most important step in anything that you cook, because that's going to bring the grill up to temp. It's going to make that cooking process more efficient. It's also going to help keeping the food from sticking and creating more caramelization. So if you don't preheat the grill for 10 to 15 minutes and bring it up to temperature, everything else begins to fall apart quickly. Also keeping the lids closed. The more the lids are open, the more the heats are getting out, the longer the food's going to be on the grill. And if you don't like the people you're cooking for, try to do that. Maybe they won't come back, which could be good for you, but that's another great one.
Right. And that's the one that I always fail on, is the lifting the lid too much. What would your advice be on not doing that as much?
Well, and I'm colorblind, right? So I struggled early on when I first started grilling because it was hard for me to tell when food was done. So I'm a temperature and time guy. So I know whatever food that I'm cooking, what the temperature of the grill is supposed to be, and I set myself a timer. Now, if you have the iGrill or the iGrill Mini, you plug the probe right into your food. You don't have to worry about setting that timer because it sends you the signal to your phone. You know exactly when to put it on the grill. You know exactly when to take it off. And it basically is a foolproof way of cooking.
One of my biggest mistakes is whenever I grill for guests, I tend to get caught up in a conversation and not pay complete attention. Is that an important part? Is there a people part of this too, that you got to watch those people mistakes?
Well, and that's one of the things too, because you want to make it as easy as you can in the backyard. And I'm one of those guys too. I usually don't have two or three people over when we cook. It's usually like 10, 15, 20. So I want to make sure that I'm either using the iGrill, because you can pre-program in what you're cooking and it automatically has the timers in there, or setting your timer normally. And when you can do that, I can focus on having way more fun. I can then, timer goes off, go flip the food, close the grill, finish cooking, and then take everything off because my timers are going off. So it's being disciplined and doing that. And for some people that are getting into grilling, it's really easy to teach and coach them because I don't have to reprogram them. You know, everybody's a grill master in the backyards, lids are open, they're flipping stuff and pretending like they're the barbecue, the symphony is going and they're conducting it. And if you could just be disciplined and set that timer, your life is so much easier. You can have way more fun, and the food quality is so much better.
As I was preparing for this segment today, I was kind of looking around at some foodies and other sites about things you're never supposed to grill. I was surprised at some of the top on this list, and I'm just kind of curious if you concur. One of them was salmon, and the other were hamburgers.
I'm not sure where you're finding that research. I mean, burgers are one of the top things that people cook, and salmon's another great thing.
Right.
And you know, like I could see a little bit with burgers because what you want is caramelization. So some people will cook them in a skillet because they can get browning to the whole surface. As for salmon, there's nothing better than a smoked salmon, a grilled salmon, and that's a hard thing about fish too. When people grill fish, they have the temperatures too high. They don't lightly coat it with olive oil, so the fish sticks to the grill. You also do a great cedar plank salmon. So I would tend to disagree with those two things, but you know, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. I think most importantly, if we're out in the backyard cooking and using our grills, we're all winning. So whatever you want to cook, we're not gonna get elitist here. We just want you out in the backyard barbecuing.
Kevin, is there a place where people can go? Is there a good resource site that Weber has where all these questions could be answered online, perhaps?
So yeah, there's some great places. If you go to Weber Nation, there's a ton of blogs, videos that I have up there that will talk you through things. If you go on Facebook, Twitter, at Kevin Coleman's Backyard, I answer questions about grilling 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You talk directly to myself to help inspire people. And those are two great places for resources that will help you in the backyard, give you all the knowledge that you need, tips and techniques that will help take a grilling game to the next level.
All right, Kevin. Now, if we actually come to one of your barbecues, do we call you Master or Kevin or Mr. Coleman or Master Coleman?
It depends, before the food and after the food. If the food comes really out well, you call me Sensei. If it comes out somewhat okay, then you just call me your friend.
All right, very good. Kevin Coleman, Weber Grill Master, thanks for being with us on The Opening Bell.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Dow futures are pointing toward a positive open on Wall Street, up about 14 points right now. NASDAQ and S&P futures also pointing upward. Gold and silver trading higher this morning. Oil's a little bit lower, off about 2%, $43.30 a barrel. The latest now on agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. As we look at those Monday afternoon crop condition reports, not any surprises. Numbers pretty much in line with what traders were expecting. 67% of the nation's corn crop rated good to excellent, but in Iowa, 78% of the crop rated good to excellent. And in the soybean situation nationally, 67% of the soybean crop rated good to excellent. So how did that impact on the grain market yesterday? Well, corn moved lower on anticipation of pretty good weather going into the July pollination season. Corn closed near its session lows and appeared to drag down soybeans as well. Board of Trade July corn down 8¾ cents at 375¼ a bushel. July wheat up 1¾ to $4.67 a bushel. And July soybeans down 1¼ at 937¾ a bushel. Weather was a factor as they're looking for cooler temperatures and enough moisture going into the July pollination season. There's a meeting in Savannah, Georgia today that will be watched carefully because Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue will host Canadian Agriculture Minister Lawrence McAuley and Mexican Secretary of Agriculture Jose Calzada Rovirosa, and it'll be a trilateral meeting, and they'll be probably talking about the future of NAFTA. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuels.
Thanks, Orion. You have a great day as well. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Outlook, Market Desk Outlook for June 20th. It's Tuesday. A couple of things happening today. Commerce Department releases the current trade deficit for the first quarter. FedEx reports quarterly financial results after the market closes. Looking ahead to the rest of the week, Wednesday, tomorrow, National Association of Realtors has home sales. We'll be watching those very closely, the stats for May. And then on Thursday, Labor Department has jobless claims. Freddie Mac has mortgages. New home sales report coming out on Friday, too, will give us another better idea of how the housing market is doing. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Thursday or Tuesday. It is June 20th, 2017.